Heavenly Father, we have come together today to worship and praise you. We pray now that you would open our minds and hearts to your presence. We pray that the Spirit of God might become the Spirit of Christmas for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 220. Angels from the Realms of Glory. While you're turning to that, let me say we're glad to have Bill and Lori with us this morning. Bill and Lori have just moved up here from Orlando. Okay, we welcome them. They made a wise move. We welcome you to the area. So glad to have you with us. Number 220, the words will also be on the screen. Be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? Thank you. We do want to remember all of those who were affected by the storms. As we're on the way out here this morning, I got an email from my niece in New York. And she said, I heard about the storms in Tennessee, and I just wanted to make sure you were okay. Well, that's one good thing about Tennessee, that the storms that did hit in our state were 300 miles from us. But there are a lot of people that were affected by them, and we certainly want to remember them all. People that have lost loved ones, people that have lost everything they had, towns that have been obliterated, towns that have been wiped out. Remember them. Any others? Okay, in the hospital. Thank you. Two unspoken requests. How many by the uplifted hand would indicate unspoken request? Yes, many. Okay. As the choir sings, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. His name is called Emmanuel, God with us. Heavenly Father, this morning we pray that we might indeed experience the presence and the peace and the power of the babe of the Bethlehem manger anew and afresh in our hearts. Today, Lord, we have so much going on in our world. We pray that you would be with all of those who have been affected by the weather. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort and strengthen them. Be with those who have lost loved ones. Be with those who are still uncertain about the well-being of their loved ones. Comfort and strengthen their hearts. Be with all of those who are working so feverishly, trying to find and trying to rescue and trying to heal those who have suffered from the storm. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the words of that song that say, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky, hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of your hand, keep me safe till the storm passes by. We pray this morning that you be with each one of them, Lord. You've heard the prayer requests that were mentioned. We realize that you are the great physician. We pray that you would be with each one of these people during their time of need. We pray today, Lord, for all of our troops. Lord, we just pray that you'd watch over them and keep them safe. How difficult it is to be so far away from home, especially at this time of the year. Be with their families, Lord. Comfort and strengthen them. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with our leaders. Lord, in normal times, our leaders need our prayers. How much more so in this day and age? Remind them, Lord, that we are one nation under God, that it is in God we trust. remind them that your power and your strength and your discernment is available to them if they will but call on you. Be with all of our first responders today, Lord. Give them an added measure of your strength and your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for loving and caring for us. Help us that we might share that love with others. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Again, we thank each one of you for your faithfulness in giving, especially during this last year and a half, 2 years almost now. It's been a difficult time, but God's grace is sufficient. We appreciate all of you that have given so faithfully. We pray that you remember that the offering receptacles are at both doors. Just drop your offering in as you leave. As we go into this time of sharing God's grace and gifts with us, allow the choir to share with you. Pray now that your blessings would be upon these gifts, be on the givers, be on the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I almost forgot, and I'm so very sorry. At this time, we're going to have the lighting of the Advent candle. I didn't forget you folks, but we appreciate it. Come if you would.
Last week, we lit the candle of expectation and the candle of preparation. We will call today's candle the candle of illumination. God is sending one who will bring light into the dark and the painful places of our lives and our world. Light brings warmth and comfort and dispels the darkness and doubts so we can see and understand. The scriptures are Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to announce that captives will be released and prisoners will be free. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against his enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of despair. For the Lord has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for their own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities long ago destroyed. They will revive them, though they have been empty for many generations. John 1, 6 through 9. God sent John the Baptist to tell everyone about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was only a witness to the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was going to come into the world. Please pray with me. God of light, illumine all of the dark, painful, confusing, and frustrating areas of our life. Sometimes we prefer to live in darkness because we know that darkness seems to hide some of the ways in which we have chosen to live. Help us to seek and know the brightness and the joy of faithful obedience. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Today's scripture is chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him." Herod was deeply disturbed by their question, as was all of Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law. "Where did the prophet say the Messiah would be born?" he asked them. "In Bethlehem," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. O Bethlehem of Judah, you are not just a lowly village in Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod sent a private message to the wise men, asking them to come see him. At this meeting, he learned the exact time when they first saw the star. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way. Once again, the star appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when it was time to leave, they went home another way, because God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I don't know if you've noticed or not, But occasionally your pastor gets a little bit unorthodox. Today may just be one of those days. We had a fantastic breakfast with Santa yesterday morning. Great crowd, great attitude, great time of celebrating the season. You know, a lot of people, when they think of Christmas in a church setting, they have a problem with Santa Claus. They think that, well, Jesus is on this side and Santa Claus is on this side. And never the twain shall meet. Catherine has a little ceramic music box that I really like. On top of it is a little statue of Santa Claus kneeling at the manger. To me, that's kind of what it's all about. Whether we use Christmas trees or Christmon trees, whether we're talking Santa Claus or anything else, it all ought to direct us to the manger. You know, it used to be back in the good old days, Dad would work at the mill for 30, 40, 50 years, then he would retire. Junior would work at the mill for 30 or 40 or 50 years, and he would retire. The whole family, in fact, probably the whole town was wrapped up in working at that one place. That hasn't quite been my experience, okay? Just to show you how I got to this topic in this place, let me give you some ideas. When I started out as a little guy, I would mow lawns anywhere from $1 to $3 a lawn if I was lucky. I'd rake leaves, about the same price. I'd shovel snow. And I grew up in New England, so they knew what it is up there. But again, $1 to $3 for shoveling out a driveway and walkway and everything else. Then by the time I got to high school, I went big time. I got a job at a supermarket, stock boy and bag boy and all that good stuff. And I was making 65 cents an hour. Well, finally, I decided it was time to move up to the big time, so I got a job at a lumber company there in town. It was the owner and another man and me working there, and I was making 75 cents an hour there. From there, when I went to college, I got a work scholarship. Work scholarship paid me $50. For 120 hours of work in the dining hall scrubbing pots and pans. I also had a job when I was in college working at a drugstore at the soda fountain, making milkshakes and hamburgers and all that good stuff. And of course, if you've been around the block as many times as I have, you realize that that job is called a soda jerk. But I'm not even going to bring that up today. I have also worked for the United Auto Workers, United Steel Workers, and the Teamsters. I worked in a steel mill in Cleveland, Ohio. I worked in a tunnel that ran under the factory. I did it for a couple of years, and every shift at lunch break, whatever time we rotated shifts, whatever time lunch was, I'd go down to the locker room, take a shower, change clothes, and go back to work because the clothes I had on were soaked with oil all the way through. When I left there, they put my job up for bid. Nobody was dumb enough to bid on it, so they ended up having to shut down the tunnel. I worked on a shipping dock loading freight while I was pastoring one of my churches. Another college job, I worked at the Joliet Army Ammunition Plant, driving a tank truck. I also, in college, for 3.5 years, I was a forklift operator. I worked at a pharmaceutical warehouse and shipping. I worked at a factory operating a metal extruder, making these drop ceilings, making the steel parts for them. I was a spot welder on an assembly line for Ford Motor Company. I worked for a printing company. I worked in the mailroom for a magazine publisher. I did door-to-door sales. I tried to sell encyclopedias and I tried to sell cookware. I did route sales. I worked for Home Juice Company, delivering juice around to our customers. I worked for Cook Coffee Company. They sold everything from coffee and tea down to blankets and battery-operated record players and everything else under the sun. You know, a dollar down and a dollar a week for 500 years. But I worked in retail sales. I worked in office work. I was a file clerk at Baptist Hospital in Nashville during part of my college career, filing patient records. I was a filing clerk at the law library at Emory University when I was in seminary. The funny thing there was, when I started out, there were five of us doing the job. They paid $5 an hour. And we couldn't work more than 20 hours a week. By the time I got out of seminary, I was the only one doing that job, and they'd raised my pay to 5 1/4 an hour, 20 hours a week. When I left, they hired a company to come in and do it, and they paid them $500 a week for the same job. Also, I worked... I operated a check sorter and reader in Nashville. This was back in the 60s. I was a comptometer operator for Sealtest Ice Cream. You know what that is? You know what a comptometer is? It's like an adding machine, but it has 500 keys on it. You know, you punch in the numbers you want and then add, subtract, multiply, or divide, and all the gears would turn up on the top, and one number would pop up, and then the next number would pop up, and the next number would pop up. When that machine worked, it was really great. But it was a mechanical calculator and not an electronic one. I drove a school bus. I drove a tour bus. I drove a stretch limousine. I drove semis. I was a teacher, 7th grade geography in Florida. I was a chief crew leader and for a newspaper there. I managed subscription crews at the Lakeland Ledger. I'm sure you folks are familiar with that. I also was a junior high camp director for 5 years, over 200 campers each year, each week. I've been a youth director, directed 20,000 miles of teen choir concert tours, Canada, Puerto Rico, and about 23 or 24 states. I've been a minister of music, I've been an associate pastor, I've been a pastor, and I've been a senior pastor. Plus, I had one other job, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Before we go any further, I mentioned at the beginning we were talking about Santa Claus. I don't know how much you know about him and his resume and his background. Santa Claus didn't always have long white hair and a white beard and a bright red suit. Long before the North Pole and long before his Christmas visits brought joy to all the children of the world, Santa Claus was a child himself. He was once just an ordinary baby boy named Nicholas. He was a child, a baby boy just like any other, but his parents had high hopes for how he would turn out. The name Nicholas means hero of the people. Even at a young age, Nicholas was a kind and generous boy. He often helped people in his village. He shared his meals with those who had nothing to eat. He was always the first to lend a helping hand. And he brought joy to young and old alike. There was no better friend to have than young Nicholas. At a very young age, Nicholas joined the church. It was his duty to help people, and Nicholas gave special attention to the children of his village. They were very fond of Nicholas for his playful and joyful manner. Nicholas became well known all through the land in which he lived as a kind and wise young man. He was soon named a bishop in the church, and because of his age, they all referred to him as the boy bishop. Nicholas wore a long red robe and a red hat. He traveled by horseback. At every village he went to, the children would spot him coming with his bright red robe on and would gather in the road to greet him. At one village, Nicholas heard the sad tale about a poor old man and his three daughters. It seemed that the man was in dire straits and he was no longer able to feed his daughters. He feared that he would have to send them away. Nicholas knew that he had to do something to help this family. So one night, while the whole village slept, Nicholas quietly approached the hut where they lived. He climbed up onto the rooftop, and there he carefully and precisely dropped three bags of gold, one by one, down the chimney. Earlier that day, the three sisters had washed out their stockings and hung them by the fireplace to dry. And each small bag that Nicholas dropped fell into one of the pairs of stockings hanging there by the fireplace. The next morning, the girls were overjoyed to find gold coins in their stockings. "Father," they called, running to wake him, "we've received a magical gift." As the story of these three sisters spread from village to village, other people began to hang their stockings by the fire too, hoping to find a secret gift when they awoke the next morning. Though this was Bishop Nicholas's first and most famous gift, it was not his first good deed, and it certainly would not be his last. Bishop Nicholas enjoyed surprising people. He began to deliver his secret gifts of hope and joy only at night when his friends were asleep. For all his good deeds, Bishop Nicholas was finally named a saint. Saint Nick. You see how the pieces of the puzzle are starting to come together now? He's honored as a saint who looks after all children. Each year, people around the world celebrate the saint's good deeds on December 6th. They hang their stockings by the fire and awake to find them filled with candy, fruit, nuts, and toys. People also celebrate Saint Nicholas on Christmas Day. He has many names around the world. In some places, he is called Saint Nicholas, or Sinterklaas. Now, children have trouble sometimes pronouncing that name, and very often it comes out sounding more like Santa Claus. Now you know the rest of the story. Getting back to my work history, there was one more job that I had. It's the best part-time job I have ever had. I was up in Wisconsin. I was pastoring a church. I met with the church board and got their approval to take on a part-time job at a large department store there in town as Santa Claus. Let me describe the setting to you. It was up on the fourth or fifth floor. They had the magic forest there with all the mechanical elves making their toys and doing their things. And the path would wind through that room and had Christmas lights everywhere. And after you got through that room, you came to the room where Santa Claus was. And one by one, as the families went through, they would allow them to come in and speak to Santa Claus. Let me share some truths with you that we can learn from Santa and from the children, and that we should always remember about Jesus, the reason for the season. First of all, let me tell you about Patty. I had a young couple in my church whom I had married. The bride had a little sister named Patty. She was 7, 8 years old. The mother of the little girl worked at the same department store where I was. She came up to see me one day and she said, "I just wanted to let you know, tonight I'm going to bring Patty by." And Patty's at that age where she's not really sure if she believes in all this or not. "I just wanted to let you know." So that evening, I took my supper break, and there was a sign hanging up across the entrance to the Magic Forest. Santa Claus is feeding his reindeer, okay? And so people were lined up waiting for him to come back, and I got off the elevator, and there was a line there, and I did my ho-ho-ho thing. And then I said, "Oh, and there's my friend Patty. How you doing, Patty?" Her eyes got that big, and her mouth dropped open. Well, I went around to the back door and went in where I was supposed to be, and people started coming through, and eventually Patty came through. And she couldn't wait to get up there and see me. And I got to talking to her about her sister Connie and her sister Kathy and about her dog and all of that. And she just sat there. I asked her what she wanted for Christmas, and finally she was able to speak a little bit and let me know. Her mother told me later that when they got home, before the car had completely stopped, she jumped out. She ran up and almost took the storm door off the hinges going into the house. She said, "Daddy, he knows me. He knows me. He knows me." Well, you remember that song that we sing that says, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own"? We need to realize that Jesus knows each one of us even better than we know ourselves. And he still loves us. It's an unconditional love. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I know a lot of times we feel like we're just a faceless person in a faceless crowd in a faceless world, but he knows us. Then also, there was Johnny. Now, I had a friend up there in Wisconsin that had a school bus service, and he knew that I had a CDL, commercial driver's license. And one day we were talking, he said, "Listen," he said, "I have a lot of times when at the last minute my drivers call and say I can't make it in for whatever reason." He said, "Would you be willing to fill in for me sometimes if I get in a bind like that?" I said, "Sure, anytime, just call me." So a number of times he did, and one of the schools that I had to pick up several times was a Catholic school, elementary school, little kids. And one of the kids at that Catholic school, I think is probably a first, second grader, no more than that. His name was Johnny. And from the time Johnny would get on the bus, he'd sit up in the front, and he would chatter with me the whole time that I was driving, taking him home. Well, one evening, sure enough, a family came in, and there was Johnny. I said, "Hey, Johnny, how you doing?" He looked at his mom and dad, and they were more shocked than he was. So he came on up, and I got to talking to him. I asked how Blackie was doing. Blackie was his dog. I asked how his brother was doing. "Oh, yeah, he's doing okay." And I said, "Are you all ready for Santa Claus to come down there on 4th Avenue and see you?" I'd forgotten that he had told me. He said, "We don't live there anymore. We moved." I said, that's right. I almost forgot. You moved out to Black Creek, didn't you? His parents almost lost it. Well, we got all done and they left. The next morning I went in, there was a note on my locker. Come to personnel. So I went down and personnel director was there and he said, when I came in this morning, my phone was ringing. He said, there's a family out in Black Creek that wanted to know how in the world Santa Claus knew so much about their family. He says, now, I didn't tell him anything, but he said, here's her name and phone number if you want to give him a call. I might, but that was 42 years ago and I haven't yet. I've often wondered, you know, as they think back, they're still wondering, and I guess someday I'll have to talk to them about it. But anyway, but the thing we need to realize here is that Santa Claus knows right where we are. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 11. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Verse 11 says, he is not far from any one of us. God knows right where we are, not just geographically. He knows where you are spiritually. You remember in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve had, Eve picked the peaches off the tree and cut them up and put in brown sugar and all that and put it in the oven at 350 degrees and made the peach cobbler, and they ate it. Preacher, those were apples. Show me. Anyway, they got done eating the peach cobbler, and all of a sudden they heard God coming down the pathway in the garden. And the scripture says they hid because they weren't exactly dressed for company. And up until that moment, they hadn't known it. And you remember what God said? God said, where are you? Adam, Eve, where are you? He didn't mean, I can't find you. He knew exactly where they were. What he was asking was, where are you in relation to me? We need to have a discussion here. God knows right where we are. And going back to the first one, he still loves us. He knows you. He still loves you. He knows right where you are. And he still loves you. One more to share with you, and then we're going to get out of here. I got a call from personnel one evening. He said, tomorrow morning we've got a group of physically, mentally, and emotionally challenged children and adults that want to come in and see Santa before the store opens. Would you be willing to come? I said, certainly, I'll be there. So the next morning I was there, and sure enough, here was a group, 15 or 20 in the group, plus all of the chaperones that were with them. I had adults sitting on my lap that were bigger than me. And they were just like little kids. They loved it. They all came through and they all shared with me. Some I could understand, some I couldn't. But they all talked about Christmas and what they wanted. Everybody had come through except for one little boy, about 8 years old, standing back in the corner with the chaperones. And the chaperones were saying, come on, Stevie, go talk to Santa. Come on, Stevie, go talk to him. Stevie stood there looking at the floor. I talked to him. I tried to coax him. I said, come on, Stevie, come up and talk to Santa Claus. Didn't even look up. I had some sleigh bells. You know, the big wide leather strap with the big old bells on them. You know, they don't go ding-a-ling. They go clang, clang, clang. I took those sleigh bells and I threw them across that tile floor. And they rolled over and over and over, made a terrible racket, and stopped right at Stevie's feet. I saw Stevie glance up at me. I said, "Stevie," I said, "in a little bit, I've got to go out and feed Rudolph and put his bells on him." I said, "Could you bring those bells to me so I can put them on Rudolph?" Looked at the bells, looked at me, looked at the bells, looked at me. He picked them up, came running across the floor, jumped up on my lap, and just started chattering away. The chaperones went berserk. They had their cameras out, and they were taking pictures, and one of them had a little tape recorder, and he was recording it all. I found out later, after everybody else had gone out, I was talking with a couple of the adults, chaperones, and they said that two or three years ago, they didn't go into detail, but two or three years ago, something happened to Stevie to traumatize him. For 2 years plus, he had never said a word. They would take the group out to the farm or a petting zoo. He wouldn't even get out of the car. Wouldn't even look at the animals. He'd just sit there. They said his parents could not have received a better Christmas gift. And we thought we had problems. God knows exactly what we're going through. He knows our problems. He knows our needs. And if we'll let him, he'll meet us at that point of need and make all the difference in the world for us. No matter how tough life gets, no matter how rocky this boat that the United States of America and the rest of the world is on gets, God knows and understands our situations and problems. You remember the psalmist said, "Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me." Friends, God is there. God knows you. God loves you. God is with you, regardless. Boy, doesn't it make Christmas special? Santa Claus isn't there to take that away from Jesus. He's there to remind us about that. The lights aren't here to take away from the spiritual celebration. It's to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. The songs are to remind us about the joy that God wants to give to you and me. Please remember to keep Christ in Christmas. Remember the reason for the season. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning that we can gather together to celebrate this very special time. And Lord, we pray that you would use all of these things, not as distractions, but as reminders of your love and grace for us. And we'll give you all the praise, for it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we ask it. Amen. In closing this morning, let's sing that familiar song that we have known for so long. That song that says, "Away in a manger, no crib for a bed." Reminding us that God loved you and me so much that he was willing to leave his throne for a manger. He was willing to leave the glory of heaven for a cross. All as indications of God's love to you and me. Number 217 in the book, the words will also be on the screen. Let's stand together as we sing. May the spirit of Christmas, and that spirit with a capital S, that's the same spirit that we talk about on the day of Pentecost. May it go with you, filling you with God's love and grace, and helping you to go out into the world to tell this sad old world that we can sing joy to the world because the Lord has come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.